God, Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Let's stand and sing it now. Well, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Well, what a mighty God our Jesus is.
What a mighty God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, you can beat that. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, what a privilege it is to be in the house of God today. Did you enjoy service here last night? Wasn't the word of the Lord wonderful? Amen. I'll tell you what. Man preached like that with the kidney stone. It's untelling what he'd do if he's completely healthy. I looked for him to just leave here last night, didn't you? I was going with him if he went, wasn't you? Oh, give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise if you love him today. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is to be back in the house of God today. We've got several prayer requests. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at these this morning. Sister Tamika Brown sends this in to please pray for little Josiah. He appears to have a stomach virus. Thank you so much, and may the Lord bless you. A lot of that going around, so let's pray for all those that are suffering from viruses today. Sister Sherry Wiggins says to please pray for our little Robbie. He's been real sick for several days now, so remember that prayer request. If you will, continue to pray for our little grandson, Andy and Jennifer's little boy, Tucker. He's doing better, but he still needs a touch from the Lord, so remember him. Also, Sister Sherry Wiggins sends in this testimony. I want to give thanks to the Lord for a good report on my father. I asked for prayer a few weeks ago because his doctors were pretty sure that he had prostate cancer. His last test showed no cancer. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for praying for him. Somebody say praise the Lord. This is a prayer request in regard to Brother Soriano. Continue to remember our brother who is still in need of sincere prayer. He cannot preach for 3 months, cannot drink for 6 months, or cannot drive, I'm sorry, cannot drive for 6 months, and cannot travel for 6 months. He is from the Philippines. Also pray for the saints who many are homeless because of the typhoon that hit a few weeks ago. So that part of the world and our brother that's away from his congregation, I know his desire is to be there for them, and I know they're missing him. So let's pray for that need today as we pray. Brother Jose and Sister Elizabeth Manley wants us to remember, pray for Israel not feeling well due to allergies and asthma. So we will remember that prayer request today. Brother Keith Strader sends this in to please pray for my dad, Jack Strader. He fell and bruised his ribs. May God bless you all from Beckley, West Virginia. So let's remember that need today. I want to pray for Sister Janet Kennedy. She's having abdominal pain, so let's remember that need as we pray today. Sister Angela England says to please pray for my dad, Brother Gary Ayers. He is sick, and also my grandfather as he continues to recover from the stroke that he suffered. So let's remember those needs as we pray. Here's a prayer request for a Sissy Crawford. Has cancer. The doctors told her that she has maybe 30 days to live. So let's remember that and that. Those that are kin to her, her family, and different things, that the Lord would be mindful of that. Prayer request for Brother Charlie Spencer's wife, Sister Christine Spencer. She has heart blockage, so we will remember that today. Also, Tracy Nelson with pneumonia. Also, a prayer request for a Jane Stoats. I hope I got that name right. May God grant those needs today. Urgent and spoken prayer request for the Belanger family. Let's remember that need as we pray today. Brother Terry Horn offers this testimony. I would like to thank the Lord for his protection on my son Brad while he was deployed to Kyrgyzstan near the Russian border. He was supposed to come home in early January, but due to a partial closing of the base, he made it home this week. We will get to spend Thanksgiving together. Thanks be to the Lord. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. I want to remember the Kinzer family this morning in prayer. They're having their, their first service already in progress. This is the first since the passing of their pastor, Brother Sammy. I also pray about direction on these two churches, that the Lord would just guide ministers that way as he sees fit. And let's pray for that family and those church families. Greetings from Brother Andes. Is that? Do what? Okay. And their group of believers from South Africa. And they stream our services, so we want to remember those folks and greet them in the name of the Lord this morning. Brother Melvin Lynch says, Please have the church to pray for me. I'm scheduled to have a double fusion back surgery in the morning at Holston Valley Hospital. So we certainly want to keep Brother Melvin on our hearts, that the Lord would be with him. A friend, Ronnie Dixon, asked for us to remember him in prayer. He's suffering from shortness of breath and bad headaches. Has gone to the doctor numerous times. Cannot explain the problem. This has stopped him from being able to work. So we want to remember that need this morning. Tazy, hope I got that right. Tazy Cox of Clintwood, Virginia, turns one this week. And he has seizures. He is on medication and is at home. But please remember him and his family before the Lord. So let's remember those needs as we pray today. Just got a lot of requests today. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We believe we're serving a prayer answering God, don't we? Certainly want to pray for our pastor again this morning as he comes to minister, that the Lord would just help him and be with him. And all of you that have sickness problems in your life, God's here to help you whatever you have need of today. Do you believe that with all your heart? Let's stand to our feet this morning. We just want to commit all these things to the Lord. Brother Daniel Nunley, are you here in the room today? Is Brother Daniel here? Come on back up here, Brother Daniel. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite his presence into this service. Take these needs to the Lord. We've got a lot to talk to him about this morning, don't we? Amen. Brother Daniel, God bless you as you lead us to the Lord in prayer.
God bless you. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. You know, the place was Jamestown, Virginia. The year was 1610. There was 409 pilgrims that came to America. And during that winter, only 90 of them survived. And they was praying for God to send help. And when it finally came, it was a ship from England. And it was filled with food and supplies. And they had Thanksgiving. They give thanks to God. And I can't think of no better way than to praise God with thanksgiving and praise. And into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Let's take these needs before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, oh, how we love you this morning, God. How we thank you for everything you mean to us. For God, we know that heaven and earth will pass away. But you said that your word will never pass away. God, we thank you for letting us live in this day, in this hour. Thank you for the revelation that's going forth. Thank you for the ministry that we have among us. Heavenly Father, today we bring our needs and our requests before your throne. Requests from all over the world, Lord Jesus, people that has needs. And God, we know that there's no distance in prayer. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you move for each one of these requests. God, that you heal everyone that's sick, that you save the lost. And God, for the church that lost the pastor, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you move for them. God, we pray for our young people. We pray for the world and the shape that it's in. God, we know that only you can bring it out, bring them out of it. Oh, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you bless this service today. Anoint your servant, God. Help us, Lord, to receive what you have us to receive. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in the service today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service, may God bless those folks as well from around the world that's streaming these services. I'm glad we've got a lighthouse here on this hill, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Do you praise God for the light that he's shining in your pathway? Amen. I do, don't you? Let's sing about it this morning. Thank God for the lighthouse. Yes, I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks a sea. Around me that
It sends out a light.
Amen.
A light that I might see. And the light that shines in the darkest night will safely lead me.
Hallelujah.
If it wasn't for the lighthouse, I know my ship would sail no more.
And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin
message lighthouse down.
Yes,
they say the big ships don't preach that old-fashioned way anymore. There's no use in it standing around.
Aren't
but then my mind goes back to my stormy life.
Hallelujah.
When just in time I saw this
you be seated just in a minute, but you can get yourself exercised, get your hands ready. Let's clap our hands and let's just have a real good atmosphere when Brother Donnie gets in here this morning. Is that all right with you? You love to worship. Some of you endure worship. Some of you don't care whether you worship or not, but we're going to have a good time with you or without you. We're going to worship. Well, I'm going to take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Well, I'm gonna take a trip. Heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye.
I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing all my joys with you I share. ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through.
Oh, now I'm gonna take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye.
Hallelujah. Sing that last verse. Sing it with a little bit of feeling this time.
If you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be.
Oh, that's right.
For with Christ I am an heir. If 2 months fall,
you find
you'll surely be left behind while I go say.
Take a trip on your gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I want to make this announcement. I think it's been announced maybe once or so. I didn't have any information on it. It's the reason I didn't say anything about it. But there will not be any service here Wednesday night. So remember that. No service this coming Wednesday night. Will be service here, Lord willing, next weekend. So remember that. I mentioned it last night, Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy. This will be their last service with us, as far as I know, for the next several months. But I want you to know that little spot where you do that little dance, it's reserved for when you get back. We're going to miss them. I appreciate that family. They mean a lot to us. And they ain't but one Charlie Torres. We thank God for that. But we sure love Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy. And I know Sister Chevy's glad they ain't two of them running around. We appreciate him. God bless Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy. Give them a nice hand if you will this morning. Praise the Lord. Brother John, if you and your sister have us a song, if you come, get ready to sing. Also, are you going to help him? You going to sing? Yeah, come on up here. I want you to sing too. I want you to sing next after they sing. All right, you come up here and get ready. Let's enjoy him as they sing. Brother John Cockman's here, his family, he's going to give us a song after Brother John Linichek. I hope John Horniak don't have us a song this morning. Let's enjoy our singers. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say I got my life in this morning. Praise the Lord. Appreciate our singers. Let's enjoy them as they sing.
Well, praise the Lord.
I'm sorry, Brother Louis. I was right behind Brother John, and he said Brother John looked right at me. So I thought, I'm so embarrassed, and I was looking around for my sister. Sometimes she's here. He's looking for a capo. I'll make it real fast. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful for this message. I'm thankful that I've got health, but I'm thankful for trials. I'm thankful when I'm chastised, but it shows me I'm a beloved son of God. I'm thankful for my lack of worldly possessions because it doesn't make me cling to this earth. Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low, and the darkness was black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Hold my hand all the way, every hour of every day, from here to the great unknown. Take my hand and let me stand where no one stands alone. Once I stood like a king, I may live in a palace tall, with great riches to call my own. But I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being alone. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the great unknown. Take my hand and let me stand where no one stands alone, where no one stands.
certainly appreciate her songs this morning. God bless her singers. Brother John Cockman kind of apologized. I appreciate you just being spontaneous, buddy. God bless your heart. Appreciate that. Our singers, we appreciate them. Let's sing a song this morning as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord. Hope all of you have a wonderful holiday. So, just enjoy your families and a lot of good food and have a good time. And be thankful for what you got. Amen. Amen. I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you just who I am? Oh, tell them I am redeemed. Oh, I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you just who I am? Oh, tell them I am redeemed. One more time. Well, I am redeemed.
So blessed today if we really are redeemed, aren't we? You can be seated if you would like for just for a few moments. You have a baby dedication today. Brother Aaron and Sister Angie McCoy, if they'll bring their baby, we'll dedicate it to the Lord.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the little ones to Jesus.
Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, what a miracle, truly a miracle that life really is. Dear God, as we stand here today, we realize our nation, which at one time was founded upon the principles of truth and Christianity. Our founding fathers would have never believed that our highest courts and judges would have ruled that it was legal and lawful for these poor little things to be killed before they're ever given the opportunity to live. Now, to the detriment of our nation, millions and millions on the tolls of humanity that'll be answered for it that great day. But it makes us so thankful, Lord Jesus, that there are parents that are alive today left in the world that still realize part of their focus on this earth is to bring forth children into the earth, to nurture them, to teach them, to rear them, to be examples before them. Father, my brother and sister, bring their little child into your presence today. Lord Jesus, by doing this, they're acknowledging they want to return its life back to you, but also they need help. They need your help, your guidance, to be the right kind of parents. For we know that much of what we become in life will be affected by the early years of our life, how we're raised, how we look at God, how we view people, how we view honesty and integrity and so on. What a great responsibility you've given to this mother, insomuch that she would be called the fifth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and mother. And dear God, you've given the awesome responsibility to my brother to be a fatherly example. I pray that you'd help him, Lord. Dear God, we dedicate not only this child, but these parents into your presence. May you help them that they can be able to rear their child with a great, awesome responsibility. who dedicate his little life to you today, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Oh. He'll fit with us really good. I put him right to sleep. Let's stand together if you would. Some of them I put to sleep when I dedicate them. Others of you I put to sleep when I preach. So, and then some of you I wake up. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We'd like to read again today, verse 16. We'd like to resume on our story that we was looking at last night on King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. I wish to speak to you again today on pride and will worship. Pride and will worship. One proceeds out of the other. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. They withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." Let me read to you again the definition of will worship. Will worship signifies simply a mode of worship which a man chooses for himself, independently of the revelation which God has given. The whole system of deism, as I mentioned to you last night, that deism was birthed in the 18th century, basically a worship around nature apart from a creator. The whole system of deism is a worship founded in the will or thoughts of man and not in the wisdom or will of God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you so much, dear God, for your mercy and grace that has appealed to our hearts. We ask today, Lord, that you would help us, that we can be benefited by our gathering together. I realize for many to go to church on Sunday, it's just a ritual, a routine, something that they've done all of their life, so they just do it. But Lord, we want it to be more than that today. We don't want it to be a protracted meeting to where we go and put on our Sunday clothes and we sit during the service and then we greet one another after church and we go about our Sunday dinner and then whatever we do afterwards. But I pray that we'd hear from heaven today. May there be something of eternal value that will be accomplished out of the service. And we know truly if it is, it'll have to be you that does it. So we present ourselves, Father. Open our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Just to reiterate for just a few minutes about this great man, Uzziah. Reared in the proper home with the proper teaching, the right kind of doctrine, the right kind of influence, the right kind of home environment, with many, many things to his advantage. Unlike many of us, which were raised heathens, and God's grace reached to us and saved us beyond our raising. This man was raised with everything to his advantage, you would seem. A man that started out in such a wonderful way. Dedication to God, a young man, a young king, 16 years old. Upon the death of his father, entering into being one of the earlier kings of Israel. Granted, by the grace of God, the reign of 52 years, which is quite notable within itself. But yet, his story comes to an end in a very sad way. And let me speak to you today and remind you that this was not ordained of God to happen this way. This was not predetermined in God's destiny that it happened this way. This is part of choice. This is part of free moral agency. Don't blame a lot of the wicked, vile things that happens in your life on the predestinated will of God. This certainly was not the will of God for this man, because this story could have been totally different in the way that we're going to read it today. But it was simply by the choice of this man that he decided to go a different way. And as I mentioned to you last night, that no doubt it didn't happen just one particular day that it overwhelmed him and all of a sudden he just found himself caught up, because it doesn't, sin doesn't generally move quite that way. We know that the man is going to be affected by leprosy, by his disobedience to the word. And leprosy is a type of sin. And leprosy, if you know anything about leprosy, you know that there is no cure for it, only God. And leprosy does not actually come like that. Leprosy is not like some diseases or afflictions that you go to bed last night and you get up today and my, you're already in bad shape. But leprosy moves upon you in a very slow way. You begin to lose, desensitizes your skin to where you can't feel. It starts in many different ways. By the time it comes out, it is already in the wart size, the white wart type of thing. Then it's already far advanced into your body. Now, that is a very type of sin. Remember, it reflects sin. So sin does not come just immediately and creep into people's lives. But for the most part, it comes in a little at a time. They begin to give up this principle and that one and this truth and that. And they don't pray anymore like they used to, read their Bible and so on. And before you know it, they're in a terrible shape. They're backslid. And yet they look back and think, where did it all come from? How did it all come upon me? And no doubt in this man's mind, in his heart, before he ever got to this place, something began to talk to him. Something began to move upon him, and he began to reason within himself. And as we looked at him last night, he was a great man of ingenuity, a man of great ability, and had these type of people that surrounded him. So he was surrounded with positive things, surrounded with good things. It wasn't that it was negative things that drove him into this place of despair, but it was actually his pride, because things was going for so well for him that, my, it was just unbelievable what kind of man that he was. As we looked at last night, he had designed great machinery, great things that was able to set up on the walls of Jerusalem and on the bulwarks and on the towers, and they would shoot many arrows at one time. He was a man of ingenuity, a man of invention, a man that had these type of men that surrounded him. And yet because of that very thing, he leaned more toward that element as he got older and older, leaned toward his ability and what he could do. And then something began to change within him. Before the leprosy would ever strike him physically on the outside, something began to change within him from the inside first. Now let's read again, if you would, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Now listen how dangerous and how devastating this is when a human heart gets lifted up in pride and arrogance and self-centeredness. Then this human heart, his heart was lifted up, the scripture said, up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, the very God who gave him the ability to be king, the very God who gave him the ability to have this great ability of ingenuity and design and invention and all that, the very one who gave him that ability, then he turns right around and transgresses against that very God who blessed him so much. Now, we realize that in the blessing of the Lord, it's a wonderful thing when God blesses us. No matter whether he blesses us with faith or blesses us with understanding or revelation or he blesses us with prosperity and finances, God can bless in so many different ways. But if you're not careful, those blessings by which God gives you, you can turn around and take an element of pride in that blessing as if though you did that yourself. Or as if though you deserve that, then that very blessing turns right around and will become the very thing that will absolutely destroy you. Now let me read to you a few things about this man from Brother Branham. He had quite a perspective about Uzziah. This king, he said, though being a godly man. Now no one should notice where this man fell from. He had a great teaching, great parents, a great background. He was a godly man. He was a fine man. He was a good man. He was a holy man. This was not some kind of backslider. This was not a man that kind of teeter-totter back and forth between the world. But he was a man who had a great position and a great Old Testament position. And yet he fell from that position because something began to rise in his heart called pride. He felt self-sufficient. He felt like he could hoist himself up in pride, that he could just take over and do whatever he wanted to. Nobody else he had to ask. Oh my. Friend, this spirit,
This attitude is so prevalent in the day that we live in. We are living in a day when the vast majority of the people of this earth cannot be told what to do. Especially when it comes to religion. They cannot be told by pastors. They cannot be told by ministers. They may sit there, but it does not mean they're going to do what they're being told from the principles of God. They're going to do what they think is right, and they will sort. They take the Bible. They take the message. They take preaching as if it were a smorgasbord. They go to a restaurant and years laid out all kinds of salads and all kinds of beans and all kinds of vegetables and several different entrees of meats and so on. And they go through and pick. And that's the way folks do the gospel. They pick this and I don't like that. That's too harsh. That's too sharp. I don't like that. So what they do is they go back to their place where they're seated and they sit there and they just eat and eat and eat. But everything they're eating is handpicked. And God never does that. God never lets us handpick what we want. Because none of us would ever pick whoopings. None of us would ever pick trials. We'd never pick tests. We're dessert Christians. Oh my, 14 layer of desserts and blessings and goodness. We'd be so big, a fat old Christian. My, we'd be 1,000-pound Christians spiritually. We'd just waddle in and sit down because we'd have all dessert on our plates. God gives us a menu, but we really can't order off of it. I don't know why he even gives it to us. Now think of it. Church is not where you come in and place your order. This meal was predetermined today before you ever got here. And it wasn't me that actually predetermined it, but it was the great chef himself. Because he knows what every one of us have need of. But when we get to a spot then to where that our pride and our arrogance and our self-centeredness is so much that we know more than God knows. We know more about our lives and what we need than God calls shepherds. And yet you're just a humble sheep yourself. I said, remember, we're always under God. God is our God, and we find out he got lifted up. He got so lifted up till he thought because he had been blessed of God, he could take a minister's place. Now he's so blessed. Remember now, this is in his heart. This is in his thoughts. So he began to think before he ever done this, it didn't overwhelm him just one day. He woke up, you know what, today I'm going to be a priest. But he thought and he pondered and he thought about how great he was. And he looked around all the blessings of God. And all them blessings of God added to his arrogance. I am so blessed. I can do whatever I want to. Why, God loves me so much, God won't never correct me. God won't never chastise me. Well, if he don't, it's a good sign you're not his. Praise the Lord. I love my two daughters, but I whooped them when they needed it. I love my granddaughters. I whooped all them too. And still will if they need it. I love you, my people. I'm going to wear you out to the day of the body change. Not because I want to, because you need it. Or you say I don't. Yes, you do. Your very attitude saying you don't shows you do. Praise the Lord. Now, we know that real love, of course, is corrected. Notice the attitude now that he has. He was so blessed. Now, he said because he'd been blessed of God, he could take a minister's place. So he could take the censer and went in to take a minister's place, and he got out of his place to do it. Now, you know, in the day that we're living, many people say, I'd never do that. You know why they think that? Because they think right here is a minister's place. They don't realize when they're sitting down on their Facebook and they're writing their doctrine and they're putting forth scriptures and quotes and they go to a website and they're doing exactly the same thing that a preacher does, but because they don't get behind a pulpit, they don't think they're taking a minister's place. But you are. When you think you know how to get to heaven without God calling in telling you the way of life, you are taking a preacher's place. You're saying you don't need a shepherd. You don't need a pastor. I am my own shepherd. I tell you, friends, I'm afraid we have more Uzziahs around us than what we would want to acknowledge. Why? Arrogance, pride, self-centeredness. It takes a humility to recognize you're dumb. It takes a humility to recognize you do not know the way to heaven. That you do not know what you need. Oh, but I've got a Bible. I've got 1,140 sermons. You still have to have a gift of God to lead you through that Bible and through those sermons. But you see, for those around the message who feel like they've reached a utopia, they don't need that. They're already smitten with leprosy. How sad. Now watch this. So he allows this pride and arrogance to arise in his heart. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord. Now he's not just going to the outer court, but he's actually going into the place where the incense is going to be offered. It is not a gift of God that beckons him. It is not the anointing that beckons him. It is his pride. Lord Jesus. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Notice again, Brother Bam says, Uzziah was a great man, and he tried to take the place of a preacher. One day, and go in and burn incense, and the high priest with scores of other priests came and told him, you're not supposed to do that. You're a layman. And you business men remember that too. We preachers have a hard enough time keeping this thing straight. It's not for laymen. Laymen has their part, but the pulpit is for the minister that's ordained. God sets in the church men for these things. You know why that don't go over good? Because that spirit is so predominant among us. Folks don't feel like they need a shepherd. They don't feel like they need gifts of God to lead them. Why? They've got all these self-help books at home. How to be a saint, how to be a sheep, how to be this, how to do that. Computer books for dummies, this for dummies, that for dummies. There is no book on election for dummies. This right here is my self-help book. And it tells me I can't help myself. Praise the Lord. But you see now, his pride and his arrogance now emboldens him. Where before he would have never, as a 16-year-old boy, he would have never thought of doing this. He would have never been defiant against the priests of God, against God himself. Like you're 80 priests. 80. 80 priests gather around this man and the high priest to stop him. But Josephus says when they did it, he threatened to kill them all. Something's happened. Where? In here. Now he's lifted to a spot that he would look at anointed men of God and say, you get out of my way or I'll have you killed. How sad. Pride and will worship. This is the way they go. Hand in hand. Then you see when a person gets so proud and so arrogant, they know everything about everything there is to know. Then naturally they can't be told anything. Now watch what these men do. Verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him. And with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king. Thank God. I believe there's still some preachers that's alive today that will withstand this same spirit. Now they not only stood against him, they withstood him. This is the king. You mean you are going to defy the king on peril of death? You mean you'd withstand him and tell him he's wrong? If I'd have been standing there as a preacher, I'd have pointed my finger in his face and say, get out of here. You don't belong here. You wouldn't have. You ought to know me well enough to know I would have. And God would have honored me for doing so. As a matter of fact, God would have looked down upon me if I had not have done it. Just like he will today if I don't tell you when I see wrong. So they not only stood against him, oh, don't do this, but they withstood him. They withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee. Now remember, I mentioned to you last night that for the most part, the most of the Canaanite kings that were around them and all of their religions, they were king priests. So here he decides to enter into this domain to be king priest. These men become an example for every God-called man that will live down through the age. They told him, it appertains not to you. This is not your allotment. But you see, the great temptation is always there for man to enter into a position that he's not qualified for. It's never enough for him to be what God wants him to be. He always has to be more. They withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, and appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron. Now you remember, not even Levites could offer incense. Only the sons of Aaron. Now Levi had many sons. Aaron was only one of those. But only the sons of Aaron were allowed to burn incense. But his pride had so lifted him up. Who are you to tell me I can and cannot do it? If I want to, I'll do it. How sad. Lord Jesus. Now watch these men as they approach him by the word. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. They were trying by the word to point another point, another point, another principle. This is why, and this is why. Don't do this, brother. Please don't do this. Notice how Brother Branham describes him in influence. Uzziah was a good person, a fine person, a God-blessed man. This is what deceives so many people in Christendom. Because they rub shoulders with good people, fine people. But their lives are contrary to the word. And they think they're accepted because they're good. They're sincere. They're fine. They help people. They do this. That's not what gets us in. Jesus said, howbeit in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may hold to your own traditions. Notice, no matter what it was, he must always stay in his place because God gave him the opportunity to influence others by being a righteous king, but not a priest. So God gives him the opportunity and his ingenuity and his ability to divine and design, rather, instruments of war and all these great things. God gave him that position. But it's like that was not enough. It's like this office of the priesthood, he couldn't conquer it. God always has limitations to every one of us. Every pastor, every evangelist, every one of us has a position. The prophet tells us an evangelist should never tell the pastor what to do. But many evangelists have a hard time keeping their mouth shut from doing that. They feel it's their responsibility. You know what that is? It's the same thing that Uzziah faced. Praise the Lord. Why? Because it's like you will be tried. God will allow you to be tested. God never completely eradicates the overability of man to go beyond what God calls him to do. It's as if though God calls you to be this and this, but God actually makes you so where you could be all of this. And from within your soul, God will give you the inner ability to never step beyond. And if you do, you quickly repent and come back. But it's like every one of us have the potential to go beyond the divine allocation of God for our life. If not, there would never be any temptation to do it. That's, of course, where the age that we live in. With psychological preachers and all the self-help books want to make you reach your full perimeter of everything that you are. And that's why you hear a preacher like me, it makes no sense. Because you're constantly feeding your diet on how to become this and how to become that and become greater and become greater and greater and greater. And I'm telling you, deny yourself. Give up what you want. Become what God wants. So you're sitting there thinking, I don't understand this. Why? Because the diet you're feeding on is not this. You're feeding on psychological preachers. That's what many of them are. They're not preachers. They're not God-called men. They're psychologists. They are. The pulpits of America are filled with psychologists, not God-called men. Is that where God called men that blast them Jezebels, that blast that denominational system, and do they do it? No. They're psychologists. Notice this, the word forbid him to do that, so he went in. When he was called down, the word was given to him. He wasn't supposed to do that thing that God had blessed him in his business and whatever it was, but not to try to take the priest's place. He was out of the word. Well, he was going to do it anyhow, no matter what anyone said. Now, isn't that the attitude of too many people today? They won't take correction of the word. Now, it's not that most Christians won't say, I ain't taking that correction. They won't take it through psychology. When they hear the correction, they will take that correction through psychology and explain why they don't need to. They're not going to say, I don't believe this word. I will not. No, they're not going to do that. But then I said, well, Brother Donnie, you have to understand, Brother Donnie's really a hillbilly, and he's not very smart. I mean, he don't have no degrees. He's sincere. I mean, you got to give that to him. He's really sincere, but he's just really kind of a dumb guy. Thank you. I appreciate that. It makes what God does out of my ministry even a greater miracle than what I thought it was. For God to take a dummy. Because I know I'm a dummy already. I ain't got nothing to boast in, and whether or not you'll admit it, you don't either. I don't care how many books you've read, how smart you think you are, if it wasn't for God's grace, you'd have been an absolute infidel. Or an agnostic or some old denomination or something other that never go on with the word. You ought to thank God for what you can believe by faith. Uzziah ought to have taken that heat. Now remember, we call him today a Christian. That God had blessed. He wasn't just some ordinary man. He was a man that was blessed by God. But he did not want to stand correction. No matter how much the word said it was so, he didn't want to understand that. And that's people's cop out today. Well, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Oh, come on. Well, the scripture says some things as plain as it can be and the message as plain as it can be, and you try to cop out. I just don't understand why. Lie, lie, lie. Well, you folks as quiet as a Baptist church today. I think some of y'all sleep with your eyes open. Now watch this. Look at the view now of this man. He's a good man. So we call him today. He's a Christian man. Probably a man that would fit in any of our message churches and say, my, what a man of character. What nobility. What a man of a great, great thinking. The right message teaching. What a great man. And many times they are great until you cross them. That's the thing with the pastor. I know people in the way most of you don't know them. Well, glory. You wait till I get done with this kidney stone, we're really going to have church then. Now watch this. This is where this pride leads to this kind of a thinking. Because he felt secure enough that God would let him get by with something else. I know the word said only a Levite can I know only Aaron's son. I know that. But God loves me so much. He'll make special exceptions for you. I know the word said a woman is supposed to cut her hair, and I know she's supposed to wear pants and makeup and all that stuff. But God, look, he has blessed me so much, I know he'll make special exceptions for me. The devil has deceived you. He made a special exception when he saved you. How much more you want? Praise be to God. But notice the thinking now that comes with pride. How it links together. He felt secure enough that God would let him get by with something else. And that's what's the matter with our people today around the world. They think that God will let them get by with something contrary to this word. He'll never do it. We must come back to correction and stand correction by the word. And because of his arrogant way he acted, he paid no attention to what this minister had to say. Why? Because his pride has now convinced him from within his heart. Well, you can do it. That's just a simpleton. I know the prophet said it that way, but oh, come on now. There's got to be a way. What's he falling back on? Psychology. Understanding reason. Well, I just don't understand why. Why? How come the only Aaron's son? That don't make any sense. I love God with all of my heart. How come you mean God would deprive me of it? Oh my. Notice what he says. And because of his arrogant way, he acted, paid no attention to what the minister had to say. He would do what he wanted to do. Verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. Now the priests come, 80 more priests gathered around him. They withstood him. So what does he do? Here they are right in church. I mean, they're right in the presence of God. And he's wroth. Look at this word, the meaning of this word. Be vexed. Be enraged. Raging like a storm. Man alive, his false teeth crossways and sideways. His blood pressure's high. Everything's high, ain't it? He's raging like a storm. And still, God would have given him mercy. It's like he's inching his way closer to the point of no return. Azariah comes and warns him. He moves a step closer. The 80 gather around him. He moves a step closer. God again by grace moves upon their hearts. You can't do this. This don't apply to you. He inches closer. They tell him, go out of the sanctuary. Each one of these is a warning, a warning, a warning, a warning, a warning. And instead of heeding, he inches closer and closer to the threshold of the point of no return. Lord Jesus. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand. Notice, friends, you're talking about the mercy of God. God didn't kill this man when he picked us up. He's actually standing here now. He is so mad with this censer in his hand. It was not a censer that was made by Balaamites or made by some of the Korahites. It was one that right in the house of God, he went straight to the house of God and picked up the censer, walked around the presence of God. And God's grace and God's mercy and God's grace and God's mercy, step after step after step, tried to stop him. Do you understand, according to the law of God, God could have killed this man as soon as he walked into the tabernacle, according to the book of Numbers. Now notice what happens. While he was wroth with the priest. Uh-oh. So while he got mad at the preacher trying to tell him what was the truth. I want you to notice what happens to him now. When he's mad at the preacher trying to tell him the truth. Leprosy rose up in his forehead. Dear God. Had the king repented, had the king turned back, the story could have been a testimony of how God could turn a man back from his wayward attitude and pride and arrogance. He could have repented, said, I'm so sorry, brothers. Please pray for me. Pray the Spirit gets off of me. Pray for me, you men of God, that God will deliver me of this pride and arrogance. But instead, he pushes it to the extreme and he crosses the threshold of grace. And now here he stands with a censer in his head. He's mad. His cheeks is all flushed, angry. And all of a sudden, the high priests look and they see the leprosy broke out where? Forehead. Forehead. And where was it that the high priest at this particular moment was wearing the phylactery? Where was it the high priest was instructed by God to wear this over his body? His forehead. Holiness unto the Lord. So the God called man had something on his forehead too. The insignia of God holiness unto the Lord. And this rebellious message person now had something on their forehead. Leprosy. Don't you see where the mark of the beast is going to wind up? They'll receive it here before it's identified here. Lord Jesus, he was not backing down. Nobody was telling him what to do. God said, then if that's what you want, if this is what you want, you're so stubborn. You've got such pride. And you have devised a new way to worship. Ain't nobody telling you how to worship. You're going to worship the way you want to. I put these restrictions and said, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. But your pride has now anointed you to will worship. And you're going to worship me whether I want it or not. Listen how Brother Branham deals with this, of what happens to this man. He said, oh, be conscious. There's only one thing to be conscious of. Your littleness. I can see why folks don't like this message. They can't handle this kind of stuff right here. If you want to get somewhere with God, make yourself real little. You mean this is not something the Holy Ghost is going to do? God ain't going to do this for me. I've got to do this. Make yourself real little. Don't make yourself big like Uzziah. He got there and they said, I'll do this anyhow. You ain't got no business telling me. Now that's a man that's made himself big. A humble sheep that's little will never tell an anointed man of God, you ain't telling me what to do. Don't you preach me the truth. That's a heart full of pride and arrogance. I don't mean you'll always understand what's preached. No, by no means. My goodness, I listen to these tapes in every day of my life. There's hundreds of things I hear. I don't understand it. But I'm no fool to stand up and argue with a prophet of God. You're off the word, Brother Ram. I don't agree with you. Just to commit me when you hear me say stuff like that. Because you know I'm out of my mind. Notice this. You ain't got no business telling me he should have made himself humble. Now God gives him the chance. What would have happened? If you saw, I would have said, oh God, what am I doing? Oh God, brothers, please pray for me. I was fixing to walk away from this message. I was fixing to join leagues and believe the sign. Or I was fixing to join leagues with this, that, and the other and say, oh no, brothers, pray for me that God will get this evil thing off of me. But instead, he stood right there and looked at all of them in the face. I'm the king. You don't tell me what to do. And they buzzed right up in his face and said, yes, we do. Because even though you're the king, we're the anointed men of God. And it's our responsibility to tell you to get rid of your pride and worship the way the word says worship. Go back out yonder, king, in the outer courts, and we'll offer incense for you. We'll offer a sacrifice for you, but you're not called to do it yourself. Oh my. Notice, Brother Branham said, you servants of Christ, he said, you ain't got no business telling me. He should have made himself humble. You servants of Christ, pardon me. He never took leprosy. I know that's your job. God called you. That's your office. You go ahead and do it, sirs. Now watch this attitude that Brother Branham projects that the man could have had. Go ahead, sirs. Sirs. I'm very sorry. I'm not just sorry. I'm very sorry. Backed off. There'd been a different writing in this book. But when he was corrected, he got angry. You can correct people about something or tell them about their wrongdoing and they'll leave the church. They go to somebody, tell women they shouldn't wear a short hair. I'll go somewhere else where they can wear it. My. Then in Phoenix, he says, now notice, always listen. Be conscious of your littleness. Amen. Don't raise your hands, but I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you conscious of your littleness? Or are you conscious how great you are? Some of you young boys and young girls, you think you're so handsome, you're so beautiful, so pretty. You're a fine running back, you're a quarterback. But what about his back? The suffered stripes so you could be healed. His soul that suffered in the judgment of God so that you could be saved. If you parents aren't careful, you will teach your children the very opposite of this principle. Constantly tell them how great, how wonderful, how this. You ought to encourage them by every means, encourage them, but not beyond Scripture. Don't encourage them to such a place that you encourage them beyond this principle of being always mindful in the presence of God or their littleness. Or you will train a bunch of arrogant knotheads in your house and you'll think you're teaching them the truth. It ain't no wonder some of our message kids have turned out the way they have. Oh my. Be conscious of your littleness. Who are you? Now I want every one of you to take a trip with me right now. We're going to take a little journey. I want every one of you to stick your finger up. Everybody stick your finger up. Now in your imaginary mind, you're going with me. We're going to take a trip to a bucket. Go ahead. Stick your finger in the bucket. Okay, now pull your finger out. Where's the hole? That's you. But do we want to accept that about ourselves? No. This is why we're no farther along than God. Because we think. But Brother Donnie, y'all all the time telling us, we're the bride. Not this! This is not the bride. This is not the predestinated. See, this is not what the Holy Ghost has come. Oh, listen for it. This is not born again. This is your enemy. This is one thing I love about Dr. Branham. He has such theology, such depth of understanding. What other great theologian would ever tell you to stick your finger in a bucket of water and pull your finger out and find the hole? Stick your finger in a bucket of water and pull it out and find the hole you put your finger in. Then say, that was me. Now remember, the you wasn't your finger. The you was the hole that your finger made upon entry and upon exit, the water covered where you were. Listen to this. You're nothing. You'll not be missed after a little while after you're gone. They'll have a funeral procession out here and that's all. But your influence will live on and on. And on. Praise be to God. Listen to this prayer. Take all the world out. Take all the desires of the world out. Take it from my brother, from my sister. Take it from me, Lord. I'm with them. We're all in the temple of God. We realize our littleness. How little we are, Lord. How small, insignificant we are. And how great thou art. Again, an influence in Beaumont. Always be conscious of your littleness, not your bigness. And the church said,
amen.
Today we Americans so much, we try to think we're big somebody. We belong to something big, some big organization, some great big something. Oh, great big is all we see. But Paul says it this way in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Look at the word reputation, make void, make of none effect. make of no reputation, be in vain, to empty, make empty, said of Christ. He laid aside equality with the form of God to make void, deprive of force. Cause a thing to be seen to be empty. Jesus allowed himself to be looked upon as empty, vain, and void. The high priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees looked like they were much greater men. That's all part of the plan, is to make himself of no reputation. But we just can't hardly handle that, can we? We've always got to do something about us. Our opinions and our this and that and the other. Some of us, I think, need to carry a bucket of water around with us. Drag it out every now and then it lows. And just stick your finger in and people come out and say, what is he doing? Have you seen that guy over in the food department? Yeah, somebody told me he was just over in automotive. You might have to call the manager. What's he doing? He's sticking his finger down in that water and taking it out. And then he keeps saying the same thing. That's me. That's me. That's me. Let me know what room you're in. I'll come and see if I can get you out. Notice this. Brother Abraham said, when Uzziah was called down by the man who had the authority to take the censer in, the consecrated man for the service, when he called him down, he got angry. Oh, what a cursed thing that would be. When a man tries to point out to a fellow that you're in the wrong and prove it to him by the word of God, you're in the wrong. And then the man, because he feels in himself, he'll do what he wants to do, won't submit to the word, then he gets angry. You notice what happened to the king? Leprosy broke out in his face while he was still in his anger. Leprosy struck Uzziah in the face, and the priests and those who recognized it and threw him out of the temple. And he died a leper. That great life that started out so well ended to be a leper and was cast out. Let's jump down, Brother Daniel, if you would, down to Resurrection of Lazarus, paragraph 22. Listen to this carefully. We'll close just in a few moments. Leprosy. There's no cure for leprosy, he says. They haven't found it yet. Only God can cure leprosy. They haven't found even nothing for it to help it. Now listen, why? It's a type of sin. It sets in so gradual, it's painless. But one way they know when people, the first signs, when people have got it, even before the warts break out, before the skin breaks, before the fingers start falling off, is the person can get pinched or get their finger caught in a spot and they don't feel it. What's that in our modern terms? So you go out after church and the door is slammed on your hand and you just open the door and pull your hand out. And people look and say, oh my goodness, didn't that hurt? No, well, you nearly pinched it, didn't that hurt? I didn't even feel it. This is one of the sure signs of leprosy. Now, it was painless, but it began to desensitize the nervous system. Lord have mercy, children. Can't you see where we are in Laodicea? This leprosy's all over everywhere. It's in churches, it's in preachers, it's in deacons. People are becoming so desensitized to the Spirit of God. They don't feel wrath no more. They don't feel judgment no more. They don't feel His presence no more. They just sit there numbed. And the sword of the Spirit can pierce. And they just sit there smiling. The leprosy has begun. Don't do that, brother. Don't quit, brother. Don't do that. What? I didn't feel anything. I didn't sense nothing. The prophet said, it's painless. It just moves right in. You don't know it until you're dying. Big white warts come out all over you. Limbs drop off. Eat right into you. Just eat you up. Leprosy. Jesus was the only one who could heal this leprosy. He's the only one today who can heal this leprosy. Now watch this. Brother Branham used to think that leprosy was contagious. He used to think. Watch what he found out this in 1955. I just learned from some medical research the other day what leprosy is caused from. The wrong diet. And that's what causes sin. It's the wrong spiritual diet. It causes an eating leprosy that God alone can cure. You understand what caused Uzziah to go into this? His diet changed from praise be to God. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be your servant. Oh, thank you for the opportunity to let me be, oh God, just a little something in the house of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, till he changed his diet. Man, you know what? There ain't nobody like me. I am so blessed. I am so smart. I'll tell you what, I've invented things that ain't nobody ever seen. He changed his diet. He changed his diet. Instead of thinking about how little he was, he thought about how great he was. And the leprosy started moving in because he was feeding himself on himself. Let me close with this. I absolutely love this example. He's speaking of Moses. Before Moses could ever take the rod of God and go into the land of Egypt, his hand must be tempered to handle the rod. Now watch, he said, to notice, before that rod could really be handled, Moses put his hand into his bosom. Now God says, Moses, put your hand into your bosom. Now take it out. And when he takes it out, it's got white warts all over it. Amen. Moses, being familiar with leprosy, most of us would say that we never knew what it was. But Moses, oh God! Oh no, God! I don't know if you realize it or not. Moses typified your first birth. When he done that. Moses typified my first birth. When he done that. Notice this, Brother Branham says, Moses put his hand into his bosom. It became leprosy like every man is to begin with. A sinner by nature. There's no way around it. You're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. You might have been dedicated on the altar of your mother's church. You might have been sprinkled. You might have been this and that, but you're a sinner to begin with. Oh my. God said, put your hand back in your bosom. Now notice, his first appearing was the appearance of one smitten by leprosy. Amen! But then there's another verse. Hallelujah! Then Moses takes his hand and goes back in over his heart. Glory be to God. I feel like speaking in tongues. Hallelujah! He puts that hand in over his heart, which represented the heart of God. Hallelujah! The warts, the leprosy. Don't fear, Moses. Be born again. Let your hand have a new birth, Moses. Oh, glory to God. Notice this. He said, put your hand back in your bosom over his heart. He put his hands again in the commission of God where he brought it forth his hand, a leper. You were brought forth by God first, a sinner. But I love this part. Not by choice, but by nature. Would any of you sons and daughters of God ever come to this body by choice? Absolutely not. I would have bypassed it. But I come here by nature, by leprosy. Oh my, then you go back again. And when you come out,
hallelujah,
when you come out, the hand was clean and perfect. Showing, amen, that this hand, before it could wave the judgment rod, had to be a cleansed hand before it could wave. Let's stand. Watch this. Brother Bram said, you say, well, what did that mean, leprosy? It's a type of sin. When a man won't stand correction by the word of God, he is full of leprosy. Blows up and carries on. What does he do? Ruin his influence. When a man, woman, boy, or girl cannot be corrected by the word, it's a sign, friend. You're well advanced. You've got it bad. Don't misunderstand what I'm going to say to you. I cannot cure leprosy. Taking this Bible and running all over leprous people. Anybody ever seen leprosy? Naturally, I mean in anybody's body. You ever seen it? It's something to say, I'm telling you. I've seen it in different countries of the world. There's even some of our brothers and sisters in the Philippines that are in the leper colonies. But it's amazing to me, there's some of them preachers there that's got leprosy in their bodies. And they still preach divine healing. And miracles happens among them. You imagine a leper preacher preaching divine healing, laying his leper hands on others that are sick, and God will heal them. And he still remains a leper. Could you handle that? Would it shake your faith down where if God don't heal me, it ain't real? If God don't never heal me, he's real. If God never heals me again, his power to heal is the same. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It's all based upon him. So what does God do? According to the law of Moses in the book of Numbers, when a person came into the tabernacle of God that were forbidden, they were supposed to kill them. But instead of God killing Uzziah, God gives him a living death. A living death. So he'll be dead in sin while he yet lives. A leper could never come in the presence of God again. A leper could never come in the city. Once a man was deemed to have leprosy, he was placed outside the gates. Even the priest that offered a sacrifice for him was unclean until the even. He could no longer live with his family. He could no longer go to the grocery store. He could no longer go to any public meeting place. A living death. Because he was separated from his family, his friends, from the society of Israel. Don't you understand, friends? That's what's going on. God ain't going around striking many blasphemers that saying what they're doing. Their kids dying and they're losing their jobs and, you know, their limbs are falling off and having heart attacks. No. It's a living death. They'll enter right on in thinking they're more free than they've ever been in their life. But they're stricken from the society of God. Smitten from the body of God. And what do they do? Join themselves to a leper colony. A denomination. Oh God. To me it's very fitting. It's a sign they no longer belong in the ranks of God. God forbid that I would ever be tainted by sin. Leprosy. But I would not be welcome among the saints. We meet here so often and so frequent. I think it becomes so common to us. We don't realize what a blessing it is. You don't have to meet here necessarily. I'm not talking about this particular building. But wherever the saints of God, the elect of God are gathered. For the people who gather with them.
It is such a blessing to be reckoned among the body of God. I'm glad today I have not been banned to a leper colony. I'm talking about spiritually now. To a leper colony. Some church, some system that's organized in sin. And I've been banned to that place. I'm so glad to be sitting at the table with the bride. We're blessed, Brother Terry. Lord Jesus, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know this is a very serious atmosphere that's here today. So different than last night. But since you're the one that we want to dictate how these services go, we're not going to tell you how to do it. We just ask you to help us to flow with the channel. I realize, Lord, we're living in a leprous time. Tens of thousands, no doubt millions, are affected by it. Started out in their heart, thinking they were above the word, above a preacher, above ministry. Then it began to elevate itself into will worship. They become desensitized. They can no longer feel the love of God. And once that left, they can no longer feel the fear of God. So they can set where the fear is preached and they laugh at it. Because the leprosy has already started moving in their nervous system. The sword of God that used to pierce their heart. Used to smite them when they do something wrong. Now they can do something now 10 times as wrong as that was. And it don't bother them no more. The plague has begun. The leprosy has started. So they're not afraid to speak against anointed men of God. They're not afraid to speak against your messenger or the message. They're not afraid to laugh at somebody shouting under the power of God. Oh God, help us, I pray. Keep us sensitive, Lord. May it not be so that the sword of the Holy Ghost through the anointed preaching can ram right through our hearts. And we are so desensitized, we don't even feel it. And we get up and walk out. And there's a sword blade sticking out our chest. And 2 feet of a sword sticking out of our back. And we don't even know it. We're so desensitized. Lord Jesus, keep us, I pray. In this hard, cold age, keep us sensitive, Lord. Sensitive to touch, to feel, to emotions. Grant it, Lord. Keep me sensitive, Lord Jesus. Help me to be so sensitive that if I say or do one little thing wrong, that something smites me in my heart. Won't you grant it, Lord? Help me to live that way before you every day, God. I don't wait to come to church to find out my wrongs. But Lord, you know I go before you every day. Every day that I'm awake in conscience. Is there anything in my life that displeases you? If I say one little thing out of the way or any little thing, Lord, help me that I can be sensitive to it, Lord. I don't want leprosy on me, God, that I become so desensitized that I could do wrong, say wrong, think wrong, but I don't even know it's wrong no more. Help us, Lord Jesus. With every head bowed and no one looking, please. Brothers, just put the cameras up this way if you would. I wonder if there's anyone here today, or there may be many, that this leprosy of sin, rebellion, stubbornness, pride, arrogance, whatever it is, whatever form it's attacking you in, it's desensitizing you to the Spirit of God, desensitizing you to His presence, to fear. You'd like to be remembered in prayer today before the warts ever get broke out on your forehead, friends. Look at your sensitivity. Would you raise your hand to God? If you got a need in your life, you'd like to be remembered. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And may the rest of you Christians, you say, Brother Donnie, I'm not there. By God's grace, I don't want to be there. Pray that God will make me sensitive and keep me sensitive. The rest of you, God bless you. My hands up, both of them up. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Think of it, friends. We were brought here. We brought here a sinner. We were leprous all over. The warts was broke out all over us. Our nature was dark. Our body was dark. Our spirit was dark. Our attitude, our appetite. Everything about us was darkness. But God in His grace reached into His bosom, into His heart. And what did God pull out? The attribute called Jesus Christ, the love of God. And once God pulled that out of His heart, He pulled me redeemed out with it. Hallelujah. That's why Brother Branham could say, in God of this evil age, somehow, when the fullness of the Godhead bodily headed up in that one person, Jesus, God made me pay for my sins in Him then. You imagine that? Before we was ever born, our sins account was already taken care of at the cross. God made me pay for my sins in Him then. And once He pulled that attribute out, He pulled you out redeemed. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Would you take the person by the hand standing by you or lay your hand on their shoulder if you wouldn't feel comfortable taking by the hand? Let's offer a word of prayer. I want you to think of what a serious time we're in. Your brothers, your sisters, your young people. Don't ever become so hardened, friends, where you can't sense His presence. You can't sense Him warning you. When the word is coming so plain that you say, oh God, I know that word was for me. Don't become so hardened that God can speak directly to you and you no longer even recognize it. You think, oh, that must have been for so-and-so, that must have been for so-and-so. And God directed it right to you. Wouldn't that be awful? To be in such a shape that God would have directed a man of God right your direction. And you're so desensitized, you no longer can sense it. Heavenly Father, we have our hands laid one upon the other. Lord, and out across the streaming of the internet today, dear God, over Norway and the Netherlands, and in Zambia, South Africa, wherever it'll be, Lord God, I pray, those that may not have the internet, but they'll wait for these CDs. I pray, dear God, right now in the name of Jesus, as they're in their living room, Father, may they just bow their heads and the Father lay His hands over on His wife and daughter or sons. Lord Jesus, may Your presence, I pray, Lord God, help us today, Lord. Please, Jesus, keep us sensitive, Lord. Lord, Uzziah reminds me of a message person. A person that come up under the teaching of a prophet. A person that come up under the right atmosphere of a home. Godly parents, good people. He was a fine man, a good man. Oh, Lord, it was not women that got him. Lord, it was not that he robbed banks. It was not that sort of thing. But pride. He got so proud of his achievements and what he could accomplish, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. May we realize the danger of self-confidence, being self-centered, Lord. Help us to deny ourselves. You knew what You were saying when You told us in Your word, if any man will follow Me, let him take up his cross. Let him take up his cross daily and follow after Me. Help us, Lord. Oh, we've made the cross an emblem of pretty and gold and silver and platinum and all polished wood. But Lord, to the early Christians, a symbol of a cross was a symbol of suffering, shame, debauchery, filth. Because it was the most horrible death a person could die, and only the lowest of criminals died on a cross. It was not hung around their necks as pretty pieces of gold, 14 carat, but it was a sign of humiliation. Lord God, may we take up our cross today. Not a pretty gold-plated one, but a cross of humiliation. A cross of denying our ideas and ourself, Lord. Please, Lord Jesus, don't let me become like Uzziah. Lord God, if You'd look down the road,
and see somewhere, Lord Jesus, that I would get off the road. If you'd see somewhere, Father, my heart would be filled with arrogance and pride. Let me go to a premature grave if necessary. Let me get killed in a car wreck somewhere. Let a plane crash with me. God, don't never let me bring reproach on you. Don't never let me bring reproach on the church, on the message. But I believe as long as I have an attitude, Lord, that I can be corrected. I believe no matter whatever comes my way, I can be corrected by your word. But help us to maintain that attitude, Lord. Help us to realize it ain't enough to have that attitude when we first get saved, but we must have it the rest of our lives. It ain't enough to say we're wrong when we first get saved. We must keep that ability. This is one thing Uzziah lost. He lost the ability to admit he was wrong. He could no longer say he was wrong. When it was shown to him and proven, he got so big in himself, he couldn't admit he was wrong. Keep us, Lord Jesus. Keep us, Lord Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, I magnify your name today, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. May this not be the end of my life story. May this not be the end of the life story of these saints. But Lord God, may our life story have a good ending. That we were submissive. We made mistakes and we had failures and all that. But let ours be like Abraham. That when we saw we were wrong, we were able to admit it and able to correct it, Lord God. Grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We magnify your name. Now, not with will worship through pride, friends, but divine worship decreed by him who wants our worship. What are we supposed to do? We come to him with a forgiven heart and we raise up holy hands and we lift our voices in praise and adoration. That's what he asks us to do. Then that's what we want to do. We want to lift our hands. We want to take our lips and frame the words that would be pleasing in his sight. Not words that would maybe make the speaker sound good, but words that would be pleasing to him. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. You're the first. You're my last. My Alpha. My Omega. My beginning. My end. You're the lily of my valleys. You're my bright and morning star. You're the desire of all the nations, him which is, which was, and which shall come. Hallelujah to God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Shammah, my Lord Jesus Christ. You're my everything, Lord. You're the uplifter of my head when I'm weary. You're my healer when I'm sick. You're the Lord, the one that encourages me when I'm down. You're the Lord that inspires me when I don't know what to preach. You're the one, oh God, who gives me courage when enemies would love to see me die. You're the one, oh God, that I look to, Father, when I don't know which way to go. I love you today, Lord. I love you today. I have nothing that I could say about myself that would make me self-sufficient. I'm not a good preacher. I'm not a man of great faith. I'm not a great man of this or a great man of that. I say to you, I'm a 6-foot pile of dirt that has been saved by the grace of God. I was at one time a 6-foot leprosy pile of dirt that drawed out of the hand, out of the bosom of humanity. I was stricken with leprosy. White warts were all over me. My nature was bad. My life was bad. But thanks be to God, you reached inside of your bosom and you pulled me out a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. And today I stand and rejoice with other of those hands that have been pulled out of the bosom of God that have had a new birth. Our leprosy has been cured. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Friends, let me ask you something. When Jesus was here, there was 10 lepers that came to him. And he said to them, be cleansed. All nine went their way, but one Samaritan came back to him to give honor and praise. And he said, where are the other nine? He said, I don't know, Lord. I'm not sure where they went. I don't know about them. All I know is I want to give you praise. And the Bible says he was whole or restored. The others were cleansed. They did not get a body change. But this one got a body change. And it lay in what? The power of his depths, the power of his praise and thanksgiving. He had such a thankful heart. Amen. Can you imagine what those men let go? Their arms could have been restored. Their fingers could have been restored. Their noses, their ears, whatever was missing. But they didn't take time to praise him. But this one man come back, maybe his arm was gone and his nose was gone and an ear gone. But he said, Lord, I want to thank you. And Jesus said, because you took time, here's your arm back. Here's your nose back. Oh, hallelujah. Here's your ear back. You are restored. I don't want to just be cleansed from my leprosy.
I want to return to give him thanks. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Harry, sing something. Let's just worship him now just a little bit before we go. You want to walk out of here today like them nine? Is your dinner that important? Whatever you got planned for this evening, is it that important? No. Let's return back. What about the others? I don't know about them, Lord. But you done so much for me, I just couldn't go home without thanking you. Lord, I got dinner plans to go here and there, but you've been so good to me, Lord Jesus. I just didn't want to close the service. I wanted to stay and thank you. Oh, praise God. Let's just raise our hands that one time had white warts of sin all over them. Cigarette smoke and handled marijuana and handled all kinds of filth. But now they're holy hands. Holy hands. Cleansed hands.
I worship you.
Lord Jesus. Worship him, cleanse lepers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Oh, I love you. I wish I had the words to say.
I wish I had the
words
to say.
From your very soul.
I give.
Pour out that adoration from your very soul. Message, a place to go to church, healing in your body, strength to be able to work and make a living for your family. Oh, we could stand here all day and never touch it, never scratch the surface. Yes, my Father,
there is none like you.
I everybody.
than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. No, there's no one greater than Jesus.
child. Forget today when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. He made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout, for He's everything to me. I've never shied. Forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away.
Oh, come on.
He made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout, for He's everything to me. Long years ago, when I
Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Mercy rewrote my life. Why shouldn't an old leper's hand that was stuck into the bosom of God's mercy and pulled out, why shouldn't that hand rejoice? Why shouldn't that hand be grateful and happy? Praise God. Mercy rewrote my life. Sing it before they go now.
Mercy rewrote my life.
Oh yes,
Lord. I should
have been cast out of the presence of God.
My soul cast down.
But mercy
rewrote.
Everybody now. God bless you, saints. I love you.
God's mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life.
telling them if they get their machine up and going at the hospital, they said they'd call me in the morning and they might treat me tomorrow. Unless, of course, some of y'all pray me off of it. I passed a little portion of a kidney stone this morning. Thank the Lord for it. Hallelujah. I'm grateful. So they're supposed to call me in the morning and let me know. It's fine with me if the laser from the Holy Ghost just comes in there and zaps that thing. If he wants me to do it that way, that's perfectly fine with me. So I just desire that you'd pray for me, that the Lord would just help me. Whatever his will is with it, I'll certainly be glad to be delivered of it. I certainly want to apologize for you, and I hope that it hasn't affected you all in any way. As your pastor been sick and not able to preach and this and that and other, if it has, I'm very sorry. It certainly wasn't by my choice. I'd much rather be preaching and praying for y'all and doing whatever than packing a piece of a rock around on my side. So you just pray for me, and I know that God will have his way. You love him?
Amen.
You love one another?
Amen.
By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another. Go in the fear of God. And Brother Louis already said there'll be no service here Wednesday night. Spend this time with your family, Lord willing, this week. We'll be having service next weekend, Lord willing. I'll be speaking as far as I know. And some of you be traveling and all that. Just may God go with you and bring you back home to us safely. Go in the fear of God. I love you with all my heart. Mercy.